Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus said, "Why put me to the test, hypocrites?" You know, hypocrisy is one of those words that gets tossed about these days, especially when it comes to the church, right? How often I've heard someone say that the church is just full of hypocrites. That's why I don't go. And the idea of hypocrisy seems pretty straightforward, right? A hypocrite is someone who says one thing and does another. They're easy to spot. We can objectively determine who is the hypocrite and who is not, right? We can determine who is genuine and who is fake, right? Listen to their words, look at their actions, compare them, and if they don't match up, we can comfortably declare hypocrite. Well, this is not the kind of hypocrisy that Jesus is talking about today. Christ's encounter with the Pharisees today reminds us that hypocrisy isn't something that we try to find in other people. It's something that Jesus exposes in us. Remember, Jesus is speaking with Pharisees, and contrary to our common conception of the Pharisees, they were not men dressed in black with top hats and long spindly mustaches. They were not villains. In fact, they were probably, for the most part, pretty well liked. They were probably pretty nice guys. They were probably the ones that you went to if you had a theological question. They kind of sound like pastors. I mean, they walked the walk. They talked the talk. According to all external appearances, you would never dream of calling a Pharisee a hypocrite. Because true hypocrisy is actually undetectable to human eyes, for it dwells in the depths of our hearts. And when you realize that, then the tension of this little encounter that Jesus has, it becomes rather heightened, because it's not like Jesus is saying something that sort of everybody already knew. He's saying something that no one would dream of speaking, calling Pharisees hypocrites. See, it's just another example among many of Jesus dealing with spiritually bankrupt people, and he's the only one who can tell. Not even they can see their hypocrisy. Right? So they come to Jesus with this question, and they've given a lot of thought to it, and they're trying to trap Jesus in his words, right? But to anyone listening, it sounds maybe kind of innocent. They do try to butter him up first, but they ask this question: is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar? If he says yes, he loses his credibility with the people who don't like paying taxes to Caesar. If he says no, he assumes the role of revolutionary against the Roman state. So the Pharisees think they have him trapped. They finally found a question that Jesus must answer, and no matter how he answers, he's in trouble. But you see, Jesus has this way of peering into the deepest corners of the human heart, where no one else can see. And so before he answers, he replies, "Why do you test me, hypocrites? Whose face is on this denarius? Render to Caesar what is Caesar's." But then it's kind of like a punch in the gut, and he says, "Oh, by the way, and render to God what is God's too," which is something the Pharisees failed to do. Yes, I think spiritual bankruptcy is a good term to use. I mean, here was a group of apparently faithful men, totally concerned with the things of God, right? Whose behavior was apparently above reproach, and yet, when God's long-expected Christ finally stands in their midst, they refuse to acknowledge him as such. No wonder they get a little angry when Jesus says that tax collectors and prostitutes enter the kingdom before they do. And you see, the thing about this text, the thing about these Pharisees, is that we find ourselves in the same position. I mean, our old Adam is this constant, incessant false prophet who keeps speaking to our minds and to our hearts and endlessly pointing us not to Christ, but to our own external behavior. He tells us to focus on the things that everyone else can see, right? So don't lie, don't steal, don't commit adultery. Go to church, walk the walk and talk the talk. Be nice and polished. And the thing is that we actually think that if we can fool people concerning ourselves and our behavior, then we somehow aren't hypocrites. Because our words and our actions seem to mesh. But the ironic thing is that that's exactly the kind of hypocrisy that Jesus is exposing today. You know, there's a lot of talk in the church these days about authenticity. As if one of the most grievous sins that we could ever commit was that we weren't real with one another. Some have opined that the reason the church is in decline is because we make it hard for people to be real here, to be authentic. We're too stuck in maybe ritual and tradition, and people just can't be themselves, and we inhibit authenticity. You know, maybe there's a place for that critique. I don't know. But if there is, that should not be the thing that we're concerned about. The thing that should concern us is not authenticity with everyone else. It's authenticity with our Lord. Because authenticity with Him is not just some nice social nicety. It's not just sort of saving face like we do with one another. Being authentic with our Lord is actually a matter of life and death. Do you take your sin seriously? To be inauthentic with Christ, to be a hypocrite that only He can see, is to refuse to acknowledge your sin and His lordship. Maybe we're like the Pharisees after all. Which is why it's a good thing for Christ to expose it. For then we can repent of it. For when He calls it the dangerous and damning sin that it is, then we're aware of it and we can bring it to Him and say, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. And we hear that glorious word of Christ's forgiveness. This little encounter with the Pharisees happens during Holy Week. And as you keep on reading all the way through Good Friday, the tension between Jesus and the Pharisees just keeps ramping up. It becomes more and more intense until finally the Pharisees have had enough and they get their hands on this Christ to crucify Him, to finally be done with Him. And the ironic thing about Christ's teaching here is that the very tax that He tells people to pay to Caesar funds His crucifixion. That Roman tax was put to good use when some Roman centurions showed up to work one day to arrest the Lord of glory, to beat Him, to flog Him, to whip Him, to put a thorny crown on His brow, to nail Him to a tree like a criminal. Yes, those Pharisees happily rendered their taxes to Caesar and gave Him Jesus as well. And yet, God takes the spiritual bankruptcy of these men, and in His eternal foolish wisdom, He uses it to show His lavish and rich and unending compassion for you. I mean, the incredible thing about the cross, the incredible thing about gathering here week after week, is that we render to God something that actually isn't His in the first place, our sin. And He takes it. He takes what is not his and he makes it his own. He takes all of your happy lies, all of your indifference to your sin, all of your idolatrous concern about what everyone else thinks of you, all of your comfortable assumptions that God is probably pretty happy with you because, after all, you're a pretty likable person. He takes all of your hypocrisy that no one else can see, and he nails every last bit of it to that cursed tree. And because of that, you're forgiven. Period. New creation, alive in Christ. Dear friends, not only is it impossible to fool God concerning the true condition of your heart, the good news is that you don't have to. You don't have to put on airs with Christ. Because of his cross and his empty tomb, you can call your sin the nasty, wretched thing that it is because he has atoned for it. And so we cry out, "Nothing in my hand I bring, only to your cross I cling. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." And guess what? He is. He is merciful to you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.